朋友们，大家好，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国2020年总统大选的副总统辩论将于周三晚上举行。在特朗普总统宣布自己确诊新冠病毒之后，主办单位表示会加强防疫措施。另外，特朗普总统已经宣布自己会参加下周三的第二场总统辩论。详细情况，我们请美国之音白宫记者黄洋溢为我们介绍。
特朗普总统在星期一的晚上从沃特里德军事医疗中心出院，回到白宫继续治疗他的新型冠状病毒的疫情。那么在星期二的中午呢，白宫的医生也是特朗普总统的医生康利中校发出了声明，说经过了他的诊视，特朗普总统在星期二的时候是没有症状。那么特朗普总统呢，则在星期二的上午发出了推文，在推文当中表示说呢，我期待下周四10月15号在迈阿密参加辩论将会很棒。星期一的时候，民主党参选人拜登说，如果特朗普总统愿意参加下周的辩论会，他将会相信科学，如果科学家说那是安全的，那么他就会听从专家的意见。而副总统参选人的辩论会预计星期三在盐湖城的犹他州大学举办，将由副总统彭斯以及拜登的竞选搭档哈里斯参议员进行90分钟的辩论，将由今日美国报的华盛顿特派记者苏珊佩吉主持。目前还没有公布辩论会的主题，不过呢，预计新冠疫情将会是讨论的焦点之一。彭斯副总统是白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组的领导人，彭斯副总统已经在星期一抵达了盐湖城准备辩论。拜登哈里斯竞选团队要求在辩论会的现场加强防疫措施，包括在两位参选人跟主持人的中间都要隔一层防护玻璃。而主办的总统辩论委员会已经同意防疫的做法，但是特朗普阵营反对这样的做法。彭斯副总统的办公室的发言人凯蒂米勒对此做法做出回应说，如果哈里斯参议员想要在他的周围使用屏障，那就那样办吧。副总统彭斯的医生在10月6号星期二的中午发出声明说，这位杰西秀脑少校的声明当中表示，副总统的健康情况良好，也没有与确诊新冠病毒的感染者包括特朗普总统与其他的白宫官员接触，所以副总统可以进行正常的活动，不需要接受隔离。彭斯副总统的夫人凯伦彭斯与他一起到了犹他州，哈里斯参议员的丈夫道格英霍夫则是到了德州达拉斯市参加宗教领袖的集会，并且呢与当地的犹太社区领导人见面。英霍夫他本身是美国的犹太裔人。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
美国、日本、印度还有澳大利亚四个民主国家的外长星期二在东京进行会晤，在推动印太地区和平与安全方面达成共识，并且讨论了如何应对中国在这一地区咄咄逼人的扩张。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
日本外相茂木敏充、澳大利亚外长佩恩、美国国星蓬佩奥以及印度外长苏杰生齐聚东京，这是他们在新冠病毒大流行发生以来的第一次面对面会谈。蓬佩奥召集了华盛顿在亚洲民主盟国的支持，呼吁四国强化合作，对抗北京政府在南中国海、东海、喜马拉雅山以及台湾海峡所带来的威胁。
When we met now last year, the landscape was very different. We couldn't have imagined a pandemic that came from Wuhan. That crisis was made infinitely worse by the Chinese Communist Party's cover-up.The regime's authoritarian nature led its leaders to lock up and silence the very brave Chinese citizens who were raising the alarm. America stands with each of you as we work to achieve victory over this horrible pandemic and rebuild our economies together. As partners in this quad, it is more critical now than ever that we collaborate to protect our people and partners from the CCP's exploitation, corruption, and coercion.
四国外长在东京聚会被视为日本新首相菅义伟上任以来最重要的外交活动。日本外相茂木敏充表示，四国基于民主共同价值，推动一个遵守国际规则的自由与开放印太地区。澳大利亚强烈警惕中国在亚太地区的军事扩张。澳大利亚外长佩恩表示，四个民主国家基于共同利益将继续强化合作。
This important step in the continuing evolution of the Quad signals our steadfast commitment to working together to promote an open, inclusive, and resilient Indo-Pacific. The Quad has a positive agenda. It's a diplomatic network that assists us as democracies to align ourselves in support of shared interests. We believe in a region governed by rules, not power.
印度与中国的关系，由于在有争议的喜马拉雅山地区的边界对峙问题爆发，最近处于高度紧张的状态。印度明年将成为联合国安全理事会的轮值主席。苏杰生表示，印度将继续致力于在亚太地区的公海自由航行权。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国国土安全部周二发布报告，称包括中国、伊朗还有俄罗斯在内的国家正在试图利用网络攻击来干扰美国2020年总统大选的投票过程，并且影响选民的投票结果。
一份国土安全部的评估报告显示，中国、俄罗斯和伊朗可能试图通过网络行动损害或干扰用于支持2020年选举的一些基础设施，也可能尝试影响美国选民的喜好和看法。而受到意识形态驱动的个人和团伙依然是美国国内最大的潜在恐怖活动威胁，特别是产生于国内的暴力极端主义者。此外，报告也称一些犯罪集团会继续威胁破坏美国的公共卫生和安全，而美国及以南的美洲地区迟迟没有消退的新冠疫情会影响美国南部边境的移民趋势，恶化该区域已存在的经济和政治状况。
在其他的重要消息方面，
39个国家周二联合发表声明，对中国新疆的人权状况和香港政治局势的发展表达严重担忧。作为这39个国家的代表，德国常驻联合国代表克里斯托弗·霍伊斯根对记者说
：“This is a clear signal that the concerns about the Chinese policy towards the Uyghur minority in Xinjiang, that this concern is growing and it is a worldwide concern. And when I give you the numbers, this doesn't mean that having more numbers is a objective in itself.To have 39 countries sends a signal to China, and with this signal we combine our demand and request that China close the detention camps in Xinjiang, that China stops tearing down mosques and religious sites, that China stops forced labor, and that China also stops forced birth control.
在香港局势上，英国驻联合国代办乔纳森·艾伦说
：“Where in Hong Kong, the imposition of the national security law is a serious breach of the legally binding Sino-British Joint Declaration. It violates Hong Kong's high degree of autonomy, and it directly threatens rights and freedoms. It's being implemented with the apparent intention to eliminate dissent.”And it's precisely because we recognize China's role in the world that we expect China to live up to its international obligations and its international responsibilities. There must be respect for international law and for human rights, which are universal in all countries. So we call on China to reconsider its approach.
除了英国和德国，美国、加拿大、法国、澳大利亚、新西兰等国也在签署名单之列。美国之音电视报道。
美国共和党联邦众议员克里斯·史密斯日前在接受美国之音专访时重申了美国国会制裁新疆强迫劳动的决心，并表示会在中国的人权问题上持续给予中国政府压力。
在与美国之音的专访中，来自新泽西州的史密斯议员谈到了上个月国会刚刚通过的两部针对新疆强迫劳动现象的法案。
We know that 22% of the cotton worldwide is coming from Xinjiang, and now, our bill would put a total ban. The presumption would shift to anything coming out of the autonomous region Xinjiang would be presumed to be made by gulag labor, slave labor.And therefore prohibited from coming to the United States.
9月下旬，美国国会众议院分别通过了强迫维吾尔人劳动披露法和防止强迫维吾尔劳动法。两部法案都要求在美国有商业运作的公司证明自己生产于新疆的商品没有涉及强迫劳动。 作为防止强迫维吾尔劳动法的联署人之一，史密斯议员长期在中国的人权问题上对中国政府和中国国家主席习近平持高压态度。去年他起草了后来获得通过的香港人权与民主法案。在与美国之音的专访中，他将习近平与正在白俄罗斯引发大规模抗议的总统卢卡申科做了类比，称独裁者在面对来自美国的制裁时，倾向于通过拖延来等待制裁的力度逐渐减弱。但史密斯表示，来自两党的议员会保证持续对中国施压。
You know, Xi Jinping is counting on that with Hong Kong. I'm the prime author of the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act that passed the House almost a year ago, right here. They expect us to wait a little while, you know, be strong and then start to wither. That's not going to happen.
采访最后，史密斯议员还提到了中国对其海外公民，特别是维吾尔族人的骚扰和迫害。
The Chinese people are wonderful people, not their leaders.
美国之音电视报道。
台湾最大的在野党国民党星期二在立法院提出了美台复交以及政府应请美国协助抵抗中共两个讨论案，全院无异议通过。另一方面，美国驻香港总领事馆发表声明，反对中国政府限制领事馆在香港当地的官方会面。
中国国民党立法院党团提出两份讨论案，其一讨论事项为蔡英文政府应以美国与中华民国恢复邦交作为对美外交目标，并积极推动。另一讨论案则提出蔡英文政府应积极说服美国政府依照台湾关系法精神，在台湾受到中共行为威胁时，以外交、经济与安全防卫等方式协助台湾抵抗。这两份讨论案随后在全院无异议通过。台湾外交部发言人欧江安星期二在例行记者会上针对美台复交议题回应，他说，外交部将持续在政治、台湾国际参与、经济贸易以及安全等各层面深化美台双边关系，以符合我国国会对台美关系的期待。美国驻香港总领馆周二在一份声明中说，多年来，中国大美国外交官在大陆的活动作为对等待遇，美国国务院将对中国外交官们在美国的活动实施新的限制，但是香港驻美经济贸易办事处的工作人员可以一如既往地跟任何人会面，而不需要先得到批准。这是自九月初北京宣布对美国驻华使领馆人员实施行动限制以来，美国驻港总领馆首次公开做出的反应。美国国务卿蓬佩奥九月三日在一份声明中列举出中方对美国外交官的活动施加的各种限制，因此美方将对驻美中国外交官的活动实施同样的限制。几天后，中国外交部发言人赵立坚宣布，对包括美驻香港总领馆在内的美国驻华使领馆外交官及其所有工作人员采取对等的限制措施。
2020年总统大选进入了最后的阶段，而在维吉尼亚州，居民可以从9月18号开始进行提前投票。有证据显示，今年的投票率打破了记录。
这是首都华盛顿郊外维吉尼亚州北部的一个投票站，人们大清早就开始抵达。随着时间的推移，排队的人越来越多，每个人都戴着口罩并保持着社交距离，平均等待时间约为45分钟。
It seems to be at least an hour, more than an hour perhaps.
And you are ready to stay?
Of course. American democracy is on the line.
I didn't expect it, but it's been moving much faster than I thought it would. Yeah, I have to work today, but this is more important right now, so I'm going to do it.
迄今为止，为11月3号选举的投票率创下了历史新高。菲尔法克斯县选举负责人加里斯科特说，他在这24年的职业生涯中从未见过这样长的队。
The comparison is we had a grand total of 137,000 absentee voters in person and by mail. And this year we've already sent out more absentee ballots than that. As I said, we've sent 170,000 out. So we're looking that probably 2/3 of our voters will have either cast or received a ballot prior to election day.
专家说，平均而言，大约有一半的选民会提早投票。
I'm projecting about 150 million people will vote, and about half of those people will vote prior to the election day. So we're looking at about 75 million people that could vote before election day.
专家们说，尽管人们对总统大选产生了浓厚的兴趣，但这一波提前投票浪潮的主要原因是新冠病毒大流行。人们担心选举日当天人员过于密集。
I'm just kind of worried about what might happen and making sure that you know my voting normal voting place is going to be open and available. And as I said, I'm very passionate about making some change this year and been very frustrating obviously in 2020.
由于新冠疫情，许多州简化了提早投票和邮寄投票的程序。今年任何人都可以通过邮件投票。
Well, when I first started, it was very difficult to vote absentee. The number of reasons you could use as an excuse was very restricted. Well, you were a student, you were in the military, you were traveling.
即便你在选举日前几周就投了票，那也无法更改投票决定。但这并没有阻止成千上万的选民。
We're living in highly polarized times in the United States, and many people have already made up their mind. I dare say that some people could have cast their vote a year ago for Donald Trump, and they would not be regret that vote today if they had cast it a year ago.So people have made up their minds a long time ago.
当然会有很多美国人在11月3号做出决定，他们将成为总统竞选结果预测的主要目标受众。然而在选举日之前，任何一方都不会知道提前投票的结果。
Early voting results are not tabulated. No one, even the election officials, will know before election day how many of those early votes were cast for Democrats or Republicans.The vote is, you might say, in the machine, but they haven't hit the button that says count these votes yet.
每个州都有权决定何时开始提前投票。大多数州都将在大选日前一周左右开放投票。预计当地选举官员在11月3号投票后的几天内都还在点算邮寄选票。美国之音巴卡雷茨报道。
位于铁锈地带的制造业大州俄亥俄州，在新冠疫情的压力之下，当地的选民额外关注制造业还有供应链的安全问题，而且两党的支持者都希望下一任总统能够在任期内制造更多的就业机会。不过他们对于如何实现这一目标有着不尽相同的看法。来看报道。在位于铁锈地带上的俄亥俄，制造业是选民提及频度最高的问题之一。选民都希望下一任总统的任期内，俄亥俄能够获得更多的制造业工作机会。但是两党的选民对于如何达到这一目标，则有不尽相同的看法。
Well, I was shocked and very ignorant to not know that China had our antibiotics. I mean, wake me up. Why the heck would we have another country have our antibiotics? That's ridiculous. He wants to bring that back so that when we have incidences, that we can rely on our own, like self-reliance.
Everything that we have, everything that we touch, there's a part of it that is going to be from China.And that's the reality. I don't think that he's going to be able to recreate anything unless you put in technology, unless you are innovative, unless you are creative.
今年全球新冠疫情蔓延，激发了俄亥俄制造业者的思考，对中国制造的依赖引发美国供应链安全上的担忧，是否应该让供应链更加的多元化。克利夫兰所在的俄亥俄东北部制造业行业协会表示，其实在过去的10到15年间，已经有产业开始将生产线迁回美国，以提高可靠性和产品质量。
I do think business is coming back. I'd like to see it come back at a faster rate. I think COVID-19, unfortunately, that whole resiliency piece, it forced people to look at their supply chain and say, you know, you don't have to replace 100%, butYou know, maybe if you get somebody a little closer and you work with them and spend the time, you can mitigate that risk that you have with your supply chain.
极端天气和频繁的自然灾害使得气候变化的议题成为今年选民关注的热点。两位总统候选人在这个领域的政策差异较大。从俄亥俄的经验来看，传统类型的制造业往往给环保造成更多的挑战。制造业重镇克利夫兰在上个世纪的中后期就曾经受到比较严重的污染困扰，而我们今天看到的清澈洁净的伊利湖和绿化良好、公园密布的城区，就是过去的几十年治理规划的成果。克罗认为，制造业的发展和环境保护可以两者兼得。
There was never a policy that got put in place that wasn't.That people didn't fight against it and try to modify it or try to slow it down. But, you know, they did make incremental progress all the time. So I don't think that it's an easy thing to do to balance that manufacturing and the environment. But I think we've proven that we can do it.
学生还有教职员工可以使用一种应用程序来帮助自己确定自己最近是否接触了新冠病毒反应呈阳性的人。
亚利桑那大学鼓励人们下载一个叫新冠观察的应用程序，这个在校园开发的程序让人们知道自己是否接触过新冠检验呈阳性反应的人。这个应用根据接触状况，还有助于评估一个人的感染风险，提供重要信息给卫生官员，帮助他们针对个别案例调整他们的建议。分子和细胞生物学教授乔伊斯·施罗德是该校开发这个应用程序的负责人。
The campus itself has the ability now to set the exposure notification levels. And what does that mean? That means that if we want it to be really, really sensitive and pick up the smallest potential exposures, we can set the app so that it's going to notify somebody with the smallest exposures.We can go all the way in the other direction and set it so that it's only notifying people if they're absolutely, no question, heavily exposed to somebody.
在全国各地，官员们正在使用像这样的应用程序来帮助对抗新冠病毒。约翰·霍普金斯·伯曼生物伦理研究所所长杰弗里·卡恩说，他们用这个技术来决定什么时间通知可能已经接触到病毒的人，并告诉他们下一步该怎么做。
There's a little bit of laboratory of the states happening. So Arizona may do something, Virginia may do something else, and we will learn. You know, maybe we won't learn everything we need to for this pandemic, but everything we learn in this pandemic will be useful for the next pandemic.
现在标准的保健建议是，如果你暴露在病毒中，你要在家里待14天。但新冠观察组织共同创办人萨默哈莱说，像他的应用程序这样的技术让卫生官员能够针对个人情况告诉他们该如何做。
We individualize the quarantine recommendation based on your specific exposure history. What we're also now adding is personalization, where we can look at your specific risk profile, your age, pre-existing conditions and things like that, then those are some things we can use to personalize recommendations even further. We need to be more nuanced about what we ask people to do.
哈莱说，这个应用程序可以根据社区的特殊需要来操作。一个病例微乎其微的城市可能要通知并隔离每一个接触过病毒的人，而一个疫情严重爆发的城市可能无法这么做，而是要将应用设定为通知高危险群的人。然而第一步应该是让人们下载这个应用。奈拉是亚利桑那大学的学生，海耶斯也是亚利桑那大学的学生。
I had like privacy questions about it. Like I wasn't sure how much information am I like giving my name, am I knowing exact people who, you know, oh that person has had contact, like stay away from them. I didn't know if like that was the energy behind it.
I've like read up on it a little bit, and honestly, I feel pretty good about it. I don't know. I know there's like a lot of, they've done a lot of stuff, to avoid privacy issues. So I think it sounds pretty legit.
大学官员正在跟病毒进行一场竞赛。希望这个应用能帮助他们保障人们的安全，并让校园保持开放。美国之音记者米歇尔·奎因报道。
在美国西部，森林大火仍然在肆虐。帮助灭火的除了消防员之外，还有一群囚犯，但是他们的故事却鲜为人知。
在熊熊大火里，他们正在寻找救赎。这十个俄勒冈州的囚犯携带电锯、斧头、铁锹和锄头，进入该州100年最大的野火中。他们在森林里集合，排成行列，在卡斯卡特山脉灰色的陡坡上跋涉，寻找可能死灰复燃的余烬。这些人是一个有70年历史的州营项目的一部分。项目有两个基本目的：通过教导谋生技能来改造囚犯，以及在猛烈的野火季节为地面工作提供额外人手。这个月，有12组这样的监狱囚犯在俄勒冈州帮忙救火。在今年的野火季节，该州已经有100多万英亩的土地遭到焚毁，导致9人丧生。上星期，在俄勒冈州佩斯利附近森林覆盖的山区工作的一个小组，成员大多年轻力壮，他们必须登上严峻难爬的山坡，身及脚踝的灰烬让山丘滑溜难行，这意味着小组成员要滑下2步才能向前迈进一次。他们当中许多人是暴力罪犯。持械抢劫和攻击是常见的罪行，不过没有人是因杀人罪或性犯罪而入狱。大多数人说，他们的个性喜好刺激，犯罪带来的快感导致他们入狱。所有的人都说自己很幸运，找到一种合法的另类快感。他们捡垃圾、供应餐点并提供其他服务，每天的劳动收入为6美元。这些人每天早上6:30在俄勒冈州寒冷的初秋拂晓醒来，他们穿上印有囚犯字样的运动衫，然后前去临时的早餐区。他们在那里喝咖啡，跺着脚驱寒，还闲聊等待他们去做的活。在他们的周围，弗里蒙特国家森林平坦的绿草地一直延伸到大火蹂躏的山区，那里滚滚的白烟从烈焰中腾空而起。这些人在出发前准备好自己的装备，用锉子把斧头磨利，再三检查他们明亮的黄背包，确认所有的装备齐全。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。
Workers in China are treated as commodities, not as people. I'm certainly concerned about the slave labor that's being used in Xinjiang among the Uyghurs.We pay very close attention to supply chains. What are the working conditions in the factories, and how well are the people being paid? How are they being paid? If we find out that, for example, there's slave labor being used, then Customs and Border Protection will impound the goods in the port. It'll never get out of the port.